So we are here. Where is here?
Parchesi.com.
Oh, no musa enda.
Sierra Nevada.
In our casita.
In our casita.
The hub. Here for.
In our casita.
Where the digital nomads, they land, and they all come here first to meet, say hi.
La casita.
And then I'll go to the mountain. So anyway, this is where we are.
Right, right here. In our city suite, the Musa Enda.
Yeah, it's
the for a house.
Mm-hmm. But the best one is going to be that penthouse at the last ceremony we did at the location across that ocean, river, lake.
This was in front of Puerto Colombia and Pueblo Santo Tubará.
That's it. We're going to be there.
Oh, yeah, amazing place.
On the other side. We're going to check it out so we can see his house from the other side.
Oh, yeah, because there is that sky rise. The only one.
That's the one. That's the penthouse. It's going to be the penthouse. He's got the penthouse.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
No, that's our location. That's going to be one of our secret locations for Galactic Council meetings.
That would be awesome. So we're talking about energies, and a lot of stuff, but we said that maybe twin flames is just they get to the point where they like die in sex, or they ascend in sex. It's so much the energy they create that the mind dissolves. Because the mind dissolves, then the body disappears because there's nothing to be attached to, and the soul gets free, both, and they dissolve into the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's the completion, because this world is dualistic, and they were split, and together they come back as one holy matrimony, one which is the spirit before it got split.
So there's these bubbles of spirit that gets into one soul and then split in two.
Uh-huh.
Which is like the sparks of light of the sun.
Because to ascend, you must become whole again. And so you do dissolve. But I don't believe that you disappear. I believe you become master of the universe, of your own universe. And it unlocks everything, the tesseract.
So that's the thing. Remember that I said one thing is, then what happens? Why does the soul comes back? Who calls the soul? Mm-hmm. And I say, well, the mind calls the soul, and that was the first thing that came, because it needs a body. It needs a soul for a body, right? So it's in that moment. So if we are, let's say, we go outside, and then we call, our mind will call us. So we remember, soul, that our mind is calling you, that we're going to, that you need to get back to us as masters. Okay, so I'm clear?
Yeah, and the child cries for its mother to come back.
And the child cries for his mother to come back.
That's how the mother knows to come back.
Who in this case is the child?
Inside. It's the soul. The child is inside. It's the seed. It's the seed of Adam.
But it's crying to get his mother, Holy Spirit, Celestial Mother.
Yeah, which is what the sirens do. As the mothers are calling their children home all the time. Oh, you're out of bounds. Come back. Not yet. Later. And so when a child gets to this stage, or an adult, let's say, in this body that ages, because it's in time, it's dualistic, it's meant to have a birth and a death at the same time. Because a mother, she births a child, but it's the death of her independence.
It's the birth of dependence.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yes. I need full dependence for the first 2 years.
And it's the cry for on both ends, because then the child says, I'm independent, and I'm leaving. And now the mother sits at home crying for the child, hoping that the child will come home and eat one of their meals occasionally.
Oh, you and see? Visit. So what, a mother get addicted of dependency. Uh-huh. Because, you know, when they're 0-1, they like to be on uh-huh. top of the little kid, giving everything. And they're still 10 years old, and they come run. Yeah, they create a dependency.
Yeah.
What did I say?
A bond of existence, yeah. The one cannot do without the other, a symbiotic. Mother and child rely on each other for the whole of creation, existence, and future.
It's good to know for a mother that the daughter or son can survive fully independent.
Yeah.
It's good to know for a son or child that their parents are fully independent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have health, friends, everything. Uh-huh. I mean, that is a great feeling.
That they're nourished. In both ways. Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're not like fully responsible for it or not, you know, like in your case, you know, your mom is taking care beautifully.
Yeah, and she's independent.
My kids too, mm-hmm. and she's independent. I mean, mm-hmm. so, you know, that's, I'm blessed that is happening.
Yeah, and that's what we created, because we were dependent, not them.
Because I think the spirit called us, and we had to lose that
mm-hmm.
dependency
mm-hmm.
to be able to allow more space to do other work.
Mm-hmm. It's to heal the bloodline.
And it's to take that step of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think in a bloodline, there has to be a priest in every certain years, so somebody uh-huh. that is connected to faith to restore.
Has to be, otherwise you cannot go on, yeah.
And I'm not saying that I'm anything of that, but...
No, but it's true, though.
But I think at a certain point is when the, like, Redeemer comes to say, okay.
And that's the high priest and high priestess. And that's what you evolve into. In the end, it is the sacred teachings of Mary Magdalene. It's sacred sex, and it gives you the power to be able to be Christ consciousness, to be a Jesus who ascended. And what that means is that he was able to master and he was able to receive his gifts, which is acceptance of your path. You've got to accept the cards that have been dealt. Because in the end, we all have the trump card. It's our final word, which is the mind.
This is the back of the jaguar
uh-huh.
eye.
Yeah.
It's okay?
Exactly, yeah. So it's the mind.
It's the mind
A
couple
is,
have two minds, and then they decide to have a kid. In that case, that instruction that I'm sending to my DNA, to my semen, to you, all that came from my mind.
Yeah.
So that's the way, like, I'm sending you message, but the mind starts the process. I have, because I imagine a kid like this, chan, and that's what I'm producing, the way I vibrate everything, that's my semen. I mean, that's my fully projection of who I am and who I think about my future and my kids.
But the soul knows the difference, and the mind does not. The soul knows the right mind, and it knows it's not its mind. And that's why the ego comes in, to prove that it's not your mind.
So when the men ejaculate,
uh-huh.
in that moment of orgasm, what he's saying, the mind is calling a soul.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, the mind is calling a soul.
Whose soul?
Any soul that will reflect at that moment that imprint that I did with that moment and what I want, if I wanted a kid or not, I just wanted to have sex, whatever imprint that I have put in that ejaculation, let's say.
So it's calling to
that energy.
To calling to seed. Seed your own soul.
For example, if, you know, I was drunk, you know, and I had sex, and then, you know, I came. And that soul came And I didn't want to have that kid. So that our even wanted to have kids. That energy is going to be imprinted there. So when the mom is you know, pregnant, she doesn't want, and that is the energy that the, you know, poor baby is going to carry, because, you know, now that's the soul. And who's going to come? A soul that says, oh man, I need to go through the process of parents that don't like me.
Exactly.
And the mind just calls that soul that has that big energy, or you honor little, you know, little things, karma says, here's opportunity for you to heal, man. Somebody's calling there, go, and they send it there, and let's try it again.
Uh-huh.
So, if, and even, I mean, it's not that a soul exists, it's just a combination of little energies that come and it creates a soul, like on the fly, like an AI. It doesn't need to be like a soul hanging around there in the ether. No, it's just calling that energy that will connect to the highest spirit to learn a lesson from the next cycle.
It's got to be, it's a desire from the man to seed himself, but then he gets in fear. And so he ejaculates.
But do you think in the old times, when the men ejaculated, they think about, oh, I don't want to have kids, there is not going to be bread? No, that's why the Africans had 20 kids, 40 kids.
Yeah, because it was the same...
Sovereign people, you know?
It was the same mind.
Uh-huh.
It was the same soul. That's why. Where it wasn't the same soul, parents did not want to have more children. A soul group. So we're split into fragments, but we're not split into everyone on this whole entire universe. We're split into a soul group that we had exploded into, which was a consciousness. And in there we know that when we came here, we were split. So therefore, there isn't two of you, there is only one. But we are led to believe that there's two of us, me against you, you're a man, I'm a woman. But until we recognize ourselves in the mirrors and there is no trigger anymore, you'll be able to recognize yourself. When you recognize yourself in that person, and this happens before your twin flame, when you recognize yourself in that person as not that person as you, but as you are that person, then you recognize yourself and you can see yourself in all facets. Then you will be able to recognize your full mirror. Because it will only show you everything in the light. It's just like when you take mushrooms and you go, you're in zero. You've got nothing on your mind, but you're having a good time and a lot is happening. All these memories flowing by and all sorts of things are going down. And you're viewing everything and you're totally conscious. But everything is irrelevant. Because what the soul is the spirit, and the spirit, it just wants to feel that bliss of joy. It's not looking, do I look okay, do I, you know, it's a part of the soul group. So if you hold the right conduit, you're only going to attract you. If there's a puzzle piece, it only has one joining piece on that end. There isn't a second piece or a third piece or a fourth piece. You can try and jam it in, do whatever you want, turn it upside down, inside out, you name it, flip it like a coin. It's not going to work. It's not the piece. You can't do anything about it. But in dualism, we're told that we are separate. You're a man, I'm a woman. We come together as one. We come together as one, which means that we choose to create the one. It's not because it is the one.
No, we decided to come together as one. No.
Exactly. But in your twin, if you want to call it that, because it's not, it's just a twin copy of you from inside out. And that's why it looks like the opposite, which is, in my case, a male that I would be looking at. And a female. But it's the male, because the female is what I'm trying to hear, perfect. And I'm learning that through you, because I get to exercise that with you, with your inner female. And the egos, both women and men have egos on both sides. It's not just a male who has the ego in, oh, you're acting like an egomaniac male. No, women have egos too. It's just that ours look a little bit more tantrumy. And you guys, just give instructions of that, yes or no.
So I said, you and the woman have egos too. I thought it was only men. Like, soon goodness we share.
Yeah, because we learned from you guys. And you learned from us.
The mind.
So, what am I?
From one to each other, because the mind is the ego.
Yeah, that's all it is. It thinks that it's smart, it's learned a lot of things, you know, and it's, you know, doesn't want to look stupid in front of somebody else who might look a little bit smarter, or, but that's because you judged it that way. You made that person smarter instead of making yourself smarter by just saying, I'm as smart as everybody. So it's the gifts, it's the personal gifts that we have. And they're the things we have to look at. And that's our smartness, is that, yeah, I can learn how to do things. I know that. It's not about me learning. It's about me having fun to have the experience, and therefore I shall learn at the same time. So, I think the soul gets upset with the ego because the ego will not comply to one. It wants to remain in dualism. Because the ego belongs on this realm and it has the right to remain in dualism. That's its choice too.
But the thing is, how does we tell the mind that it needs to dissolve? You see, it's hard. Say, hey mind, you know, the conqueror of this is that you are going to be dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
You do not like that.
That's what the ego freaks out about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stop.
Uh-huh.
But then what's the purpose of the mind to go through all this? You say, because it's a reward, mind, you know? The thing is, you're going to get that reset.
Sacrifice. It's not sacrifice of self. It's sacrifice of the thing that you have to give up. That's what they talk about in Christ consciousness. In other words, you can say, I use the thing for my health, that I could sacrifice drinking coffee. It's not saying I'm going, you know, and do the sacrifice, but I could make a ritual and plant some coffee beans for others to, you know, enjoy, and maybe I'll use my time instead of drinking coffee to actually work in the field and make some money off the coffee beans. So
or
I'll sacrifice.
Create a cacao mocha.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say sacrifice?
And so I'll sacrifice, let's say, drinking somebody else's coffee, which is just too convenient and it doesn't put me into a balance. Because I believe when you have to work for something a little, like know where the food source came from, do it yourself, you'll kind of appreciate those products a little bit more by looking at them as if they are real gold.
So when you see sacrifices, that you say, okay, you know, when I go and buy that coffee, it took me 5 minutes to do the coffee, 10 minutes. Now it's going to take me 30 minutes, so I'm going to use more time that I was using for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you say, sacrifice. That now you are using your time in other activities that you were looking, so you sacrifice that other activity.
For that, yeah. It's like you sacrifice your old job so that you can go get a new one. Or you have a new job lined up and you say, sorry, dudes, I'm sorry, but I've got to sacrifice this.
Which it's is for the benefit. The time you were putting in that job.
And now my time goes here, yeah. So, and it's kind of what I was thinking today, which I was a little upset at myself, which is normally in the past, if I don't like a situation, and generally was with work, I would just like get really annoyed and like do the time and drag it out. And then eventually I would leave. But I thought to myself, why do I do that to myself? Why do I stay in a situation that I really don't like? Why don't I just go in there and say, sorry, it's not working for me, I'm out tomorrow, and go. But it's that courage that you have to build up to. It's like the YouTubers are going to have to sacrifice, right, to come here. So their sacrifice might be like you and I did. We're sorry, guys, but we're leaving, and we've got 2 years, and I'm on my quest. And if you want to know where I am and what I'm doing, you sure can join the quest and watch me as I go through my processes. Others might say, well, I really want to do this, and they're going to say to their like husband or wife, and if they maybe have a child or two, that's sorry, but we're going to sacrifice living in the US for 2 years, and we're going to go to Columbia and be a part of this university where we get to build out and all get to learn, including the little ones, and a schooling system and educational. We get to be a part of something miraculous, and they'll have to sacrifice that. And maybe one of their partners might say, I don't want to do that. And the other one will say, well, why not? So these are things we, it's not that we give them up or we sacrifice like forever. It means in that period of time, we got to.
You know what it means really, sacrifice, comes from sacrificium. Which is derived from sacrifice, which is performing priestly functions or sacrifices, which are related to sacred things. Which is, you know, I'm going to stop doing this because this other way is more holy for me. That's exactly what sacrifice means.
Yeah, like Socrates, our wisdom. It's to gain wisdom and to know that this is a better method for you or a better way or. So this is what the medicines teach you is the medicines teach you discipline. And a part of that discipline is that sacrifice. And that is, oh, I'm feeling tired. No, get up and shake that maraca. And you're going to sacrifice laying down there like that. And you're going to get up and you're going to do it. And that's a part of the discipline.
And sacrifice is that you're doing it for holy reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So in Hebrew, the term is it's korban,
uh-huh.
And korban means drawing near, which is to go near to, which is to approach divinity.
Yeah.
So when you say sacrifice something that you're doing to something better, that better thing should make you closer to divinity. If not, that's not the correct decision. So whenever you are going to make changes, is that going to take me closer to my God, to my faith, to what I think is good to do in life? And that's when you say, okay, I'm going to leave this job, I'm going to change cities, I'm going to go with this person, whatever it is. But that's the sacrifice, really conscious word about it, which is, not is it better, is it going to give me more money? No, the decision is this going to bring me more spiritually awakened, closer to my faith, closer to change the world?
Yeah.
That is the sense to make a decision. Higher, higher than just, it's going to give me more money tomorrow.
Yeah, the sacrifice for faith is that you will be given what you need because you
did the work.
Exactly. Because you did the work. And so the rewards come, yeah. And that's what we're talking about, the gifts. But you still have to go through the decision, and you have to. So our motto is that we sacrifice for joy. Which is love in the end. Because it's for the things that make you happy, that you love to do.
So in Greek, it's called thousia. And it means an offering.
Yeah, that's a gift. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a gift, like I said. See, an offering is a gift. So you do that in order to receive your gift. Yeah. That's the story of Santa Claus, I guess, in the end. And it's the story of the father, too, who is the priest, right? So the father is the one who teaches us discipline and sacrifice.
All the fathers should be should be working in family like priests.
Exactly.
They are the ones that should be strong in faith, and they are the ones that should be, by their way of living, showing their family the way, the proper way to live with values and.
Like you do, and like my ex does with the kids, because of faith. Yeah.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. And that was the sacrifice, I guess, you did in order to bring back faith into your family. And me too.
So,
because the calling of spirit is God, is self. Yeah.
So I was going to say that in the Old Testament, in theology, it says what is sacrificed spiritually. It says he's doing what is righteous. Spiritual righteousness.
Yeah.
The spiritual contact that honors God. When you do any righteous thing, reproving or restoring a brother, loving or helping someone, studying the Word of God, sitting under the preaching of the precious truth, it is spiritual sacrifice in the name of Christ that glorifies God.
Exactly.
Because you're making the decision of making something, and that allows you to be closer to God, like singing.
Love.
Like doing
which
this.
Is love.
And that is worth to do instead of other things, like watching TV.
Which is also ego, to play the ego game of tennis, you know.
Ego? You say? So the ego doesn't want to sacrifice. Because he knows that it will be the end when the soul fully accepts God as him and unites with the Holy Spirit, the mind will dissolve. So that's why the ego fights and stops exactly and creates all this noise.
It's to stay in the karmic wheel, because that's the program here. Yeah, I know. That's why some people say, oh, I love this earth, I can come back over and over and over again. But the ones who did it are the ones who know that they already made it.
Yeah, it's also defined like this, which is, you know, about what we're talking in the Bible. Sacrifice means giving to the Lord whatever he requires of our time, our earthly possessions, and our energies to further his work. The Lord commanded, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is Matthew 6:33.
Uh-huh.
Our willingness to sacrifice is an indication of our devotion to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is practiced in a lot of places. I mean, the Krishna, they do it. They leave everything. And it's hard. Even hard
we
for people
it.
To give the 10%. Yeah, we did it. But I mean,
we did.
Yeah, we left everything to follow. Yeah.
Wow, we did. Wow. I never thought of it like that, but that's true. We did a big sacrifice. But I was ready to do it for the whole family, anyway. Because I felt like that was really a way to show everybody is that we can do it for love. And I knew in my heart that it was going to make things better eventually. But yeah, open the doors for everybody, including ourselves, myself, speaking for me. Taking ownership of myself. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. The greats, they left beautiful, beautiful wisdom teachings, but you have to know how to interpret it. And because the words are tricky in the Matrix, they make you go against yourself by all these tricky words like sacrifice. And then you see, you know, what's his name? Moses killing his son or something. Yeah. But what he was saying was, that saying is that he was sacrificing his son. In other words, he was doing a sacrifice of something that maybe was not benefiting the son, and like, and the son wanted the father to stop it, and so he had to sacrifice that for his son. But it didn't mean that he sacrificed his son, you know, shed the blood of a lamb, and these are all metaphors, and they're meant to be descriptive, but one word cannot be ever used. It's got to have a whole stream of it to understand what the metaphor is trying to unravel, because metaphors are like little codes, matrix codes. And they don't mean the thing that people think, because they didn't study the language of words, which is to do with emotions, feelings. Everything, we touch it, because we look at things, and now we label the mango tree and have given it an emotion, which is whatever I get when I feel, when I look at the mango, it absorbs, and vice versa. That's why it's important we look at trees and sit there in meditation, because it's just an exchange of energy. And the trees, they've got the mycelium web down there, so they can go for hundreds of billions of miles as enough drainage system down there for everyone's...
They just absorb it.
Yeah, that's it. They filter everything, and the air gets purified, and they breathe back purity again, back to where it should be, 0 point. So we have to understand that's how we leave impressions, you know, in everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Taurus trait of complaining is my mom. And yeah, it was really annoying. And at the littlest things. But it was that era. Because, and then I found that your mom does it, and all these other women do it, and men of that generation. And it's just, it was that generation. Everything was really bad programming, man. Wars and propaganda, music, and all sorts of things. Just wild.
And I think TV started, so there was a lot of drama in those things to capture the attention. So a lot of people start to get reprogrammed with the TV.
Yeah.
Back before. I remember my father, he used to listen.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. To, he didn't watch TV that much, but he used to listen to something called The Show of Monte Cristo, which was fun. It was like a comedy show, but it was super entertaining. It's super, super fun, remember that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, TV just reprogram a lot. I mean, I had really nightmares, I remember, from the Flintstones.
Me too.
From the Flintstones. And my son,
me
from
too.
Baby Einstein, when
me
this
too.
Little thing went
uh-huh.
up, the, you know, how do you call it, the puppet?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then he was like, you know, for days having nightmares with Baby Einstein, you know.
Yeah.
Vivaldi or whoever, Beethoven in the back plane. But no, it's just because... Those are not things that happen in nature that way.
Exactly.
A snake will not just appear. It will crawl slowly.
Yeah, man.
And you will see, I mean, it's... Maybe, yeah, no, but not, that will not happen. I think it's all smoothly. I mean, the
otherwise
birds
we'd
go
be
smoothly
jumping out
to their
of,
prey.
Yeah.
The tiger is waiting there.
Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
so quiet.
That's fast, but it's just in pure flow.
Yeah, you don't hear the animals screaming to when they're, even if they were being hunted, you don't hear them. It's clean. But they show us violence and people screaming and women screaming like blue murder when they're giving birth. Oh, come on. I've given birth, man. That is not the way. It does not happen unless you've been programmed to be traumatized to paint that picture for yourself, but... Look, if they showed you beautiful births of women who knew how to birth properly and control their fire and work in that realm through breath
but
work.
You see, all this started when? Because who, I mean, in ancient times, people would don't care if they had 10 or a million kids.
Nope.
I mean, when did this started that just even created like a business of, I don't want to have a kid, now we need hospitals, now we need doctors.
Slavery.
Now we need...
Slavery.
Oh,
yeah.
Why we create all this drama? And then
you have a kid, now you need the house, now you need to work, now you need to study to have a job. You cannot have other kid, man, because, you know, you need more money. And then that stops you, and then you cannot have sex, then you buy condoms. It's ridiculous, all this thing.
Because we're built to give and receive. I know. And so they use the power of sex, you see, to give and receive into the work labor force. Reward systems. Which is what we do for ourselves, but it should be in the eyes of God. It's different. It's in the eyes of your own God. That you know, oh, when you've done something wrong and you feel bad, or it's not right, or it doesn't feel comfortable, or you've said something. And you shouldn't know that because it would feel uncomfortable in you. No matter what the scene is or the words, it's just you would know. And that's why we get upset, because we know and it's the same story or the same pattern and we get pissed off. But it's because we know. And attachment is so strong that it's really hard for us as humans, because it's not natural.
An attachment is that dependency.
Mm-hmm. It's not natural, the soul
that we
is
create with our egos.
Yeah.
With our soul, because our mind says, oh, I'm not going to do this because the other person is going to do it. It's just a thought. It's a dependency in thought.
Yeah, which is
because I know I can do it, but no, I prefer the other person to do it or whatever. It's just dependency in thought.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing. Like, when I was growing up, like, my mom did everything as a duty. It's my job. And so
that was her thought, and that's a powerful, powerful duty. It's like a little thing there that when she does something, just triggers duty. And that's a thought. That's a powerful brain pattern. I mean, good and bad, but it's mostly good, because if it is a duty, and she did it for God mostly.
Uh-huh.
You know, in heavenly, for the church, right?
Yeah, for everybody, even the family. Like when she was tired, it didn't matter. Yeah. She just got up and did it. Yeah.
And it's my role as as a matrona.
As mother, yeah. And, yeah, so, but it's good and bad, because then you feel like there's no kind of like, oh, I just want to do this for you. Because when I would ask, she would say, it's your duty too to get up and get it yourself, because you can. And so the duty was, oh, here's the food, here's the house, here's this, here's everything here. But then, yeah, it was like, so for me it was confusing. So I just looked at everything as duty. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll get up, do it. Move on. So everything is dualistic, and that's
but
what we
see,
have to.
But it's not duty, because the soul is not free when there is duty. Because it is, I have to. And it's not that you have to, it's that you want to.
Exactly.
That you desire so much to do.
And
that desire comes from the soul, not from the mind.
Yeah.
Which is connected to the heart.
Yeah. So the mind is dutiful. And the soul and spirit
rejoices in their tasks. Not tasks. In their daily life.
And so it's
daily
like the
go.
Ego gets a free ride, jumps on the gravy train, and and it's the one who pulls the reins. So you've got to be the dragon slayer.
The thing is that if you don't know the real purpose of your soul, then your mind is going to be the driver.
Exactly.
So that's why we have the spiritual life vision quest.
Exactly.
So the soul finds its path, clears the mind to go to the path.
To the path.
To walk the path of ascension, of faith, connection to God, the stars above. Your own God, Goddess.
Yeah, and that you're part of the greater whole.
Via twin flame. To dissolve the mind and body.
A rocket ship straight to love. So we'll wrap it up. And that means it's a new beginning. That's how it is always. That's the sacrifice. We'll wrap it up. You've got to wrap things up, remember? A gift is always wrapped with a beautiful body. And you can't see it. It's inside. And now you're like, oh, okay. But here's your gift. Now you can unwrap it.
But you see, when I ask you, where do you want to go? And you just said it.
Straight
to I think this, I mean, to summarize, we talk about the mind, the soul, the spirit, how they connect to your soul, connected to the spirit, twin flames, ascension. I think this summarizes a lot of great things. Thank you, teacher, as always. And thank you, medicines. Parchesyou.com.